Before we are given the word, we will be enlightened by some special music by Sister Martine.
It is a way. With my soul. It is a way. It is a way. My soul, and for silence, Jésus, d'être à toi, pour le. Dans le jour de chanter tu t'es bien ma. Quel repos, quel repos, quel seul. When peace like a river attend my way, when sun was light. See billows roll, water my Lord, thou must be to serve. It is well. It is well. My soul, it is with my soul, it is well. It is. My soul, and Lord, as the day when my faith shall be sound, the cloud below as a school, the Son and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well, my
church. Happy Sabbath. It is glad to be in the house of the Lord. After a long week, God has seen us and brought us to this day. We praise him. I want to thank Sister Martin for this rendition. It is well with my soul. When the Lord shall descend. Are you waiting for him? Are you ready? Are you ready? This morning, this is the question every one of us should ask ourselves. Are we ready for his coming? Let us read again these famous parables of Jesus in Matthew 25. Verse 1 to 13 that the sister had read for us beautifully, but I want for you to hear a different version of this parable. Matthew 25, verse 1 to 13. You can turn on your Bible or your smartphone or Android, whatever you have, to look at this parable again. It doesn't hurt to look at a passage over and over again, because every time you read it, you'll see something that you did not see before. This is from my experience. I don't know if this is the way the Lord works, or this is the way our brain work. Even when you are at school, the more you read, the more you get more familiar, or you get more of whatever you read. And it is important that we stay in the Word. Matthew 25, verse 1 to 13. I will read and you will listen. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, thoughtless, and five were wise, very intelligent, prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they did not take any extra oil with them. But the wise took flax of oil along with them, also with their lamp. While the bridegroom lingered and was slow in coming, they all began to nodding their heads and they fell asleep. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins got up and put their own lamps in order. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "There will not be enough for us and for you. Go instead to the leaders and buy for yourselves." But while they were going away to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were prepared went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door to us." But they replied, "I solemnly declare to you, I do not know you. I am not acquainted with you. Watch therefore, give strict attention, and be cautious and active, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man will come." Are you ready? Would you pray it with me? Father God, I come humbly asking that you will fill up what sound like my voice with the power of your voice. That you will empty what seems like my presence and fill it with your presence. Send your Holy Spirit to whisper into my ears what you want me to say, because this is your day. These are your people. Speak to us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Brother Steve, I don't know if you had read my sermon or know about my sermon. As far as I'm concerned, I can say the final prayer and the benediction. We can go home. But because we're already here, it's only 12 o'clock. I'll put a little polish into it, a little more, not polish, a little more to it. This is the way the Holy Spirit works. He wants us to be ready, amen? And we need the oils, just like the 10 virgins. Buchlan, my question for you today, if Christ showed up today, in this moment, will you be ready? This is the question for you and for me. When we look around, coronavirus had put some of us in a slumber state. And the time that we are living in now is not time to sleep. It's time to stay ready. Let us look today at one of the farmer's parables that Jesus gave, relating to readiness. Jesus talked about many parables in the Bible, and they all referred to the life of his people on earth. And they can be found in the Synoptic Gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In the book of Matthew only, you'll find 23 parables. 10 parables in the book of Mark, and 10 parables unique to the book of Luke. Jesus used parables to help us understand the gospel. All parables convey a message, and they are simple. And they are memorable stories. And every parable Jesus gave made sense. It has to make sense because Jesus created sense. They made sense back then, and they are still making sense today. Brothers and sisters, Jesus knows what he wants you and me to learn. In Matthew 13, verse 36, you will see the disciple ask Jesus to explain the parables of the weeds. I come to realization that the parables must not only be preached, but also be explained. Although these parables seem simple, the message they convey are deep and central to the teaching of Jesus. So the parables, brothers and sisters, are some of the most incredible and unique parts of the Bible. Jesus has the wisdom to simplify the profound spiritual truth to make them easy to understand. Jesus told his parables in such a way that they were easy to visualize and easy to remember. Even though the parables of the 10 virgins, it's about a wedding in Palestine as a background, we do not have to understand the ancient way they do wedding or the custom of wedding in Palestine to catch the major lesson of the story. I never went to a wedding in Palestine, but I can understand the story because the story is much more about a wedding. Now, the parables has two important areas of focus: coming of the bridegrooms and the 10 virgins in their lamps. Brothers and sisters, I am certain of one thing. Jesus must return as he promises. For what we are seeing in the world today, everywhere you turn is turmoils, wars, corruptions, violence, men working after their own senses or their own desires. I'm certain that the promise of God demands the return of Christ. Church, Christ must come. The certainty of the coming of Christ should prompt you and should prompt me, in fact, all of us, to holiness. Jesus is coming. 2 Peter 3, verse 8 to 9 says, because time has lasted this long, is no indication that God has changed his mind. Remember, with God, time is not a factor. One day is as a thousand years. This hope makes us keep ourselves holy just as Christ is holy. So the primary focus of this parable is really on the disparity between the virgins. The groom was late arriving and the girls became drowsy and fell asleep. Church, I have an important word for you this morning. Do not let disappointment, weariness, or even lethargy take you into a deep sleep. The pandemic makes some of us to fall asleep because now it's kind of hard to get up in the morning and come to church. But some of us still go to work. This is no time to sleep. This is time to wake up, to spend time in the Word of God. Coming here in church is very important. And Jesus said in the Bible, Do not neglect the assembly of the believers. It is important to come to church. It's a blessing for you and a blessing for me. This is not time to stay. It's time to spend time in the Word because Jesus is coming soon. Do not let the apparent delay of Christ's coming become a problem to you. Take your salvation serious. Christ must come back. He is coming back. These 10 versions has a lot in common. They were all virgins. They were all awake and watchful for some times. They were all having enough faith to go out to meet the bridegroom. They were also have some differences. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 took lamps, but not enough oil. The wise took both. Church proper preparation is left for the last minute. It's not a good thing to do. Don't wait until you get to your dying bed to prepare. You might not get a chance. When you think it's time, you may not get a chance. Last week, Brother Howard called me and told me about somebody, the previous president of Northeastern Conference, dies in her house Friday night. Most likely, he was preparing to go to church Saturday morning. He did not make it. This is how fragile our lives is. We don't know the next moment. Get ready now and stay ready. The 5 foolish virgins paid dearly for their neglect. Some left the church because of so-and-so. Remember, salvation is an individual thing. That's why when you come to church, you have to take your eyes off people. You got to put your eyes on Jesus. You have to know why you come here for. Matthew 5, verse 10 says, salvation is an urgent matter. That's why Jesus says, today you shall hear my voice, harden not your heart. Many of us will fall to the same predicament. That's why the story is there. Don't be late. Get on board. Even if the parable does not tell us how to prepare, but the imagery of lamp represents the Bible. Bible reading is your preparation. I have a question this morning. Again, if Christ come right now, today, are you ready? Am I ready? God does not work according to your schedule. Don't put God second. Put God first. Walk on his schedule. That's the best thing you can do. Since life is short and eternity is forever, live by God's time, not by man's time. There are a lot of symbols in the parable. The lamp represents the light of Christ. We should let it shine. We should be the light of the world. The problem of the foolish virgin is not sleepiness, but something more fundamental. They never take care of the lamp that they were given. You see, the bridegroom says, I do not know you. And that is the case with many of us. We are so careless in serving God, we are so often convicted but not converted. We are in church, but we don't have the abiding relationship with Christ. It's often been reported that if you throw a frog into hot water and then slowly warm up the water to a danger point, if you throw the frog in the hot water, it will try to jump up right away. But if you put it in a pail of cold water and then slowly warm up the water to a danger point, the frog will adjust to the gradual changes of the temperature and remain complacent all the way to the point when it will actually die from overeating. Could it be that our global society has similarly adjusted to the changes that have taken place in our world without realizing that it has reached the danger point? Could it be that we need to be much more aware than we are of the significant changes that continue to take place around us? Even as we read these words today, right now, change are occurring that could be setting the stage for the final events. Scripture has prophesied that will happen just before Jesus' return. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is coming soon. Anguish, terror. How will you describe a world that has all the technology to expand human happiness and yet is plagued by disintegrating families in violent neighborhoods? Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus gave a prophetic description of contemporary life that sounds as if it could have been taken from the evening news. One nation is capable of destroying the entire world. Sign of the time. Jesus has predicted it. Let's take a look at natural disasters. On Luke 21, verse 11 and 31, he says there will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilence in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. When you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Some might say there have always been famine and earthquake. Think about famine now for a moment. Isn't it amazing that a world which can send men to moon cannot feed all his people? How it is that these images of starving children persist on the news? Jesus knew that famine would persist, that selfish human nature, corrupt government, and armed conflict will persist and go worse toward the end of time. But what about earthquake? We have seen big shakers, major earthquakes that measure 7 or more on the Richter scale. In 2022, only in 2022, you may not pay attention because they happen so often and it's not 10 million people die, because now we're so insensitive. It's only 10 people die. It's not that many. There were 11 major earthquakes, and if you look at them, years ago when I was growing up, I don't know about you, you only hear this thing maybe every 5 years, you will hear something. Now, In the year 2022, you have 11 major of them, and they measure more than 7 on the Richter scale. And they happen more frequently. Church, the kingdom of God is near. James 5, verse 3, you have accumulated wealth in the last day. Despite all our economic insight, despite gross national product in the West that boggle the mind, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. After James predicts an unparalleled piling up of wealth in our day, James foresaw civil unrest arising from discontented workers. The tension between the have and the have-nots continued to increase. James indicates that such attitude are another sign the Lord is coming. I was watching this thing not too long ago where in Hidalgo in California, they had so much potatoes, they couldn't sell them. You know what they did with them? They throw them in the sea. Some of them dig big holes and dump them and bury them while the world is dying of hunger. Men's hearts have become harder and harder. Let's take a look at moral decay. In the last days, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. This is from 2 Timothy 3:3-5. This is a true, accurate description of our world. There is an epidemic of child abuse and molestation. Youth out of control, kids in their early teens killing, and cripples at random. 3 weeks ago, not too long ago, 3 weeks ago, this month, in Fairfield High School, a bunch of girls get together, take one girl and beat her almost to death, right here in Fairfield. What make it worse, others with their phone, all right, videotaping this thing, lad, it was funny. Where is their hearts? Young people that's in Christ here, remember, you represent Christ wherever you go. If you see something wrong, say something. Get involved. Because if you do not get involved, you're complice of what's going on. Because they were all complice. They're standing there taking pictures. They didn't do nothing about it. Where our heart today? A family not too far from here, if you can check this out, the news here in Fairfield. Let her son go to a party. When it was around 1 o'clock, he was calling him. He did not answer. So he knows where the party was. He decided to go. When he got there, he found his son on the floor that shot him to death. When he was asking what's going on to his son, one of them pulled his gun and shot him and killed him in place. Right here, not too far. I'm not telling you international news. Right here. And you can Google it and you'll find it. Right here. Young people again. Years ago, there's places you can go, you were safe. Not anymore. The devil is doing whatever he can to divorce. And he knows what we're doing. He knows where we belong. He's trying everything he can to destroy us. Be careful. Listen to your parents. Listen. Are you ready? When you look around you, what's going on? All these signs were predicted in the Bible. And Jesus knows this thing will happen. All these things from a gallery of picture loudly proclaiming that Jesus' coming is very near. Matthew 24, verse 24. For false Christ and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. Paganism is simply an alternative life sign now. It's just an alternative lifestyle now. New Agers are everywhere selling magical crystal and channeling departing spirit. Counterfeit signs and wonders are booming. All this makes it even clearer that history is moving toward a climax that Jesus predicted. We are living in the time of the coming of the Son of Man. Matthew 24, verse 6 and 7, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And as ever before, war had never been waged on a truly worldwide scale. Everywhere you turn, it's war. But in this century, nearly every significant nation on earth joined in two great global conflicts. We have lived with the knowledge that one push of a button could turn our world into a heap of trouble. Everyone agreed that we should give peace a chance. We have organization dedicated to peace. When you look at the, they call them the blue hat guys. I don't remember their name. All their duty is to bring peace to the world. Yet everyone keeps falling into armed conflicts. Why? The Bible declared that permanent peace will reign on earth only when Jesus comes. Jesus predicted that just before his coming, the gospel will be reached the whole world. Matthew 24, verse 14. For centuries, Muslim atheistic regimes suppressed Christians' witness. Now many of them are turning to Christ and are welcoming the hope of his second coming. We say, praise the Lord. The gospel is truly going to the whole world as never before. With present technology, it's possible right now to share the gospel instantly to almost every person in every nation in their own language. What do you say? He said that before he comes, the whole world will hear the gospel. Matthew 24, verse 34. Prophecy have fulfilled before our very eyes. I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. They already happened. Church, it won't be long until he'll sweep sin and suffering. Jesus will come and establish his everlasting kingdom. Matthew 24, verse 36. No one knows about the day of hour. Can I say that again? No one knows about the day or hour. The reason why I repeat this. 2008, 2006, I don't remember exactly the year. Brother Campaign have this whole campaign in the whole America that Jesus will come someday, and I think it was in June or August. And people have the sign in their car that Jesus is coming. And it says right here, no one knows about the day or hour, Don't go out there and hear people say it in 2023 in July, Jesus will be here. No one know the day or hour, nor even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Matthew 24, verse 44. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Church, we all know that our world is in crisis. Man cannot solve the problem of the world. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus calmly and boldly declares, I am the way. And he promises, I will come back. Christ is the last best hope for our world, because only he can deal with the very things that is destroying this earth. Sin. Jesus died on Calvary to make possible the defeat of evil and deliverance for all who respond to his offer of salvation. Church, though we don't know the day or hour of Jesus' return, but the signs are evident. God requires us to live in expectation with vigilance and constant watchfulness. God requires faithfulness to duty and wisdom in dealing with our fellow men. God requires preparedness to spiritual development, working on our relationship with him. God requires us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Christ will judge us. Christ will judge us by how we treat him and our brother. We cannot fool the king. He knows the true love from false love. Jesus understood what the end time will be like, and thus he gave commensurate instruction on how to overcome it and how not to be drawn into this world distraction. Church, we cannot afford to succumb to those pressure-packed and distracting times that we live in. These God-given principles apply to multitude of specific circumstances: how to conduct our marriage, our careers, how we raise our children, how we run our homes, how we drive a car, how we dress, how we walk, how we entertain ourselves. The kingdom of God covers all parts of our lives. It's covered everything, all the time, for these who are called of this age. These parables pictures the church waiting for the bridegroom's return. Because of an unexpected delay, he finds them, half of the virgin, unprepared when he finally arrives. Readiness cannot be transferred to those who are unprepared. I'm sorry to tell you that. We cannot borrow character or relationship with God. No one can deliver his brother. Each person determines his own destiny. No matter how close we are, even if we are one in flesh in marriage, a husband cannot deliver his wife, and a wife cannot deliver her husband. Nor can we deliver our children. Everyone stands on his relationship with God. God makes it clear in Ezekiel 14, verse 14. He says, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they will deliver only themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord God. As much as I love my wife, I cannot deliver her. She has to get her own character. As much as I love my children, according to the Bible, I cannot deliver them. They have to grow their own character and love God for themselves. It's a hard pill to swallow. It should motivate us to discipline ourselves, to be alert, and to give attention to our spiritual priorities. The bridegroom's refusal to admit the five foolish virgins because they never make preparation for their marriage to him. In a sense, they have already rejected him. Church, I come to tell you that our relationship with God must be worked on continually. Our relationship cannot be today or maybe tomorrow. It should be a continually relationship with God. As we look for a new heaven and a new earth, according to his promise, in which righteousness, freedom from sin is to be abide. So church, since you are expecting these things, be eager to be found by him without spot, free from fears. Church, Jesus is coming. Let us be ready. Amen.
Woo. I hope and pray that we will all be ready.